Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything that we think we know about food. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, TV presenter, and gastronaut. This edition is made in partnership with Givaudan Taste and Wellbeing. Today, we're looking at the future of plant-based food and at some of the latest innovations. It's Veganuary, so it's a great time to do this. And even if not everyone is going fully vegan, the concept of a plant-based diet is at its annual peak. For those in the industry, the incredible growth in plant-based alternatives isn't new, but it's still astonishing, with the sheer range of innovative solutions meeting the challenges of taste, colour and texture, and supporting the health, environmental and ethical goals of consumers. Now, one of the leaders in this field is Givaudan, which has solutions that address the challenges associated with creating delicious and nutritious plant-based applications. And with me are three fantastic guests from Givaudan Taste and Wellbeing. Flavio Garofalo is Growth Platform Global Director, Culinary and Plant Attitude. Hello there, Flavio.
Hello.
Fantastic to have you with us. We've got Camilla Carascal. She's Marketing Manager, Plant Attitude for Europe. Hello, Camilla.
Hello. Happy to be here today.
That's fantastic to have you. And Igor Pashin is Global Marketing Manager, Plant Attitude. Hello, Igor.
Hello, Stefan.
Well, welcome all of you to the podcast. It's fantastic to have you all. Now, let's start with Flavio. I want to start with one of your latest innovations. Now, Givaudan is well known for innovating in the meat alternative space, and you've recently launched PrimeLock Plus. Now, what is PrimeLock Plus? Tell us all about it.
Givaudan actually has been involved and committed in alternative protein space for many years, since about 2015, 2016. It has been part of our strategy, and we have really been very focused on this field and invested into it. And as a result, we have become a leaders in the innovation solutions for this area. Now, right at the beginning, the needs in the market were more about the texture and the taste of the product. And in here, we're talking about how to texturize protein, but also how to mask the off notes, how to create that meatiness that you would see typically in meat. As the market evolved, then we saw a need for more healthy products, and particularly on the salt area. And this is something that we worked on and developed a number of salt solutions. And as we combined all of this, we realized that the food experience was still missing something to create that deliciousness that is good also for you. PrimeLock is a technology that tried to answer that. It's a technology that helps a number of different development challenges. PrimeLock is a patent-pending, natural, vegan-friendly, integrated solution that mimics animal fat cells, providing exceptional juiciness while delivering also flavor in a different way. And that means that the flavor can stay stable in the market product for much longer. This is such an amazing technology, not only because it provides the benefits that I just mentioned, but also because it helps in reducing fat and calories. And this is something we all look for. These attributes have not gone unnoticed. And PrimeLock has recently won two awards, the International V-Label Award for Best Ingredient Innovation and the Best Ingredient Award for Gulf Food Manufacturing. And we are obviously very proud of both.
So how and where is PrimeLock Plus used?
PrimeLock is used in a similar way as you would use fat in a meat industry. So you have to grind it and mix it together with other parts of the application that you're developing. And the idea in here is that you would use it mostly in ground meat applications, such as burgers, sausages, meatballs, empanadas, dumplings, is whatever you would like to use it for.
So this sounds quite extraordinary. What goes into developing such an innovative ingredient as this?
Well, Givaudan takes actually quite a long time in developing these products. It's not something that happens in weeks or months, but in years. And this is because we really take care of, first of all, to understand what the consumer is missing. What is the need from the consumer? What is the pain point? In this case, consumers were telling us, hey, the products are too dry. When we eat them, you have that aftertaste that is dry, and even sometimes during the eating. To solve this problem, then we first look at nature. So how is meat providing the juiciness? And we very quickly focused on the fat present in meat. Now, fat in meat is not present by itself. It's actually encapsulated in what's called a fat cell. These fat cells are retaining the melted fat as the meat cooks. And when the temperature gets too high, then they start bursting. So when it reaches about 55 degrees, they start bursting, and by the time it reaches about 70 to 80 degrees, they're all gone. And this is what happens when you overcook a steak. It becomes dry. And what happens with the market products for plant-based substitutes? They utilize fat directly into the matrix without any encapsulation. And as a result, when those products cook, the fat melts away and you have a product that contains little fat and actually very dry in your mouth. PrimeLock solves the problem by encapsulating the fat the same way as you have in fat cells. We encapsulate it into a matrix that melts slowly as the product heats up during cooking. And it actually improves on Mother Nature because we're able to retain still a bigger amount of fat at the end of the cooking process, even if you heat it to 80 degrees and you have a well-done steak or burger. Now, all of this creates a great prototype, which is then tested in many applications. It's tested also over shelf life to make sure that the product performs well over its whole shelf life. And eventually, we scale it up and make it available for our customers and consumers. As we go through this process, we identify also if there are opportunities for patenting. And in this case, there was. As a result, we have a patent application going on for this product.
Now, this area as a whole is fascinating. So I wonder, does Givaudan have other things like this coming up?
At Givaudan, we are constantly innovating. We actually spend a large percentage of our sales on innovation. And alternative proteins is not just an area that we spend our innovation money on, but it's a focus area. As a result, products like PrimeLock have been developed and others will come. Today, PrimeLock has been formulated specifically for burgers. And the idea here is first to look at how to reformulate it for other applications for it to work better. For instance, for deli meats. We're also investing in new areas that are emerging, like fish and seafood, plant-based fish and seafood. So we are creating new ingredients and texture for these products. And another area of interest is alternative dairy products. And again, we have mouthfeel and maskers for alternative proteins in this particular segment. If we look at the long term, and now I'm talking about maybe even 2030, we're investing in cultured meat as we believe that that will be an area that will grow in the future. And as a result, we have built together with our partners the Culture Hub in Zurich.
Okay, well, let's talk about the plant-based pork sector as a whole. And I'd like to bring you in here, Camilla. Now, pork's become a focus for the company in Europe. And I wonder, why is that?
Yeah, so we've seen that there is an interest from consumers that is growing on these type of products. We did a consumer study about this, and we saw that the main drivers for this interest from consumers, so it's on the first place because they want to try something new. They are curious to try these type of products. On second place is because they care about animals and as well as the environment. And in third place is because they consider these products healthier than real pork products. So in the last years, we already work on the key icons on the meat and fish analog. So we work on beef, we work on chicken, we work on fish. And now this year, we decided to focus on pork. That was for us our next big icon to work on. So what we're observing is that consumers, they want to have the right product for the right moment. So they want to have their bacon for the breakfast, then chicken for their lunch, or something for their tuna salad, then for dinner. So we are trying to bring that to consumers, bring this variety and really the options that they are looking for. And as well, what we are observing is that consumers are not yet fully satisfied with the options that they are finding in the market. In the specific case of pork, so we observed that consumers were expressing that they didn't find that the products are authentic enough, or they find that it's too far away from the real thing. Some of them just prefer the real type of product because the taste is better. So for us, really, what we are trying to do is to help other companies to bring this authenticity in the taste and create the best type of food experience when we are creating a plant-based pork product.
Now, there must be unique issues with each meat type. So tell us about some of the challenges associated with creating plant-based pork products.
Yeah, so there's different layers of the challenges that companies can face when creating these type of products. For instance, working on the taste part, One of the big challenges is about bringing this pork authenticity in the plant-based options, masking the off notes and really bringing this characteristic taste of the pork products in a plant-based version. Then there's another layer of challenges around texture. So for instance, pork products, most of them, they tend to be quite juicy. And then on the plant-based options, you find products that are very dry. So then consumers, they're expecting this juiciness as well on their plant-based options. And then the appearance that these products are having is as well important, so that you are having the right color. So when you are cooking your plant-based bacon, they're expecting that there's as well a type of color transformation when they are having it. So their consumers are expecting this full experience and authenticity in their plant-based options as well.
So the big question really is, how are you addressing those challenges, and which technologies are you using along the way?
So we have a multi-sensory portfolio that we can use to work on this type of product. So we have created some new flavor tools in order to bring this authenticity in the taste. We have some masking tools. We have as well some flavor tools in our portfolio in order to create this characteristic pork profile. But then we also have colors to work on this type of products, and as well some ingredients to bring the right texture. And just before, Flavio was talking about PrimeLock, and actually we have used PrimeLock Plus to develop these plant-based pork solutions, because as I was saying before, bringing the juiciness is very important in this type of product. So for instance, we were working on a coarse sausage, and this is a product that is very juicy when you are eating it. So we use the PrimeLock Plus in order to bring this juiciness to this type of product. And as well, then it can bring some other benefits to the product, and you can even try to reduce the fat content by using PrimeLock Plus.
Okay, and now a question for Igor. On the podcast, we've covered the astonishing growth in alternative proteins in quite a lot of depth, and it's been quite a journey. As the market changes and diversity continues to grow, what do you think is next?
Well, I think there are couple of interesting dynamics and developments that we definitely see in the market, and it's basically evolves as we speak, and it's driven by a couple of things. I would say number one is definitely the advancement of technology. You know, the things are popping up here and there. There are a lot of startups, there are a lot of companies investing money into the new technologies, and it's definitely the future. Then the other thing is us talking about the biodiversity. I think we quite quickly we'll realize the population still grow, it will continue to grow, and for sure the need for a diversity of proteins, not only to be nutritious and to have a kind of full round nutritional proposition for consumers, but also be diverse enough to feed the population. I think that's also quite critical. And then lastly, consumers, they just need a good food experience. That's what they're looking for. And enable them to have this experience is critical. So the market continues to evolve. So we see much more focus now on the new and emerging technologies. We recently released a white paper with University of Berkeley, where we actually were talking about some of those new technologies that will enable the future of food experiences. And there was a lot of focus given to some of the production methods that are also maybe will be touching on some of the hybrid products. So it's not necessarily only plant or cell-based or lab-grown. It will be really a combination, a hybrid that could help us to achieve really outstanding results. And I would definitely see that's a big, big topic in the coming years. Now, we see things that are something like 3D printing, or precision fermentation, cultured meat. We know that, for example, lab-grown meat was already approved in Singapore for a few years as food. And now with some good recent news from the US, giving the green light for the cell-based chicken for further work, we definitely see the future being quite bright. And I'm sure the other regions will follow, including Europe, and potentially will go on the global scale.
Now, there are lots of new emerging technologies at play in alternative proteins. You mentioned 3D printing, there's biomass fermentation. Which tech do you think will be most useful in helping producers to develop new products to meet the growing demand?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would actually look at it not from a perspective of technologies, but what they will enable. Because there are a couple of factors and a couple of things that we really need to address before we say that we are really successful on the journey of alternative proteins. First is becoming bioidentical. I think they going beyond just plant-based, investing into the new options and the new types of proteins will be super crucial. Being an easy way, providing an easy way for consumers to switch from animal protein to non-animal would be really key. And I'm talking not necessarily about vegetarian, vegan, or even flexitarian who are already on the way. I'm talking about carnivores. When we reach the point that we'll need to have more protein that we can produce on the animal side, we need to make sure those people who are used to eat animal protein, they have a very easy way to really to go from one to another in terms of the preparation, in terms of experience, the texture, the taste, all of that would really play a key role. Now, as the pressure on sustainability is growing, delivering also on the price elements while still being sustainable also will be key. Because again, even though a lot of people are looking for sustainable solutions, for sustainable products on their table, some of the studies that we do show that it's still for people about the price. If the taste and the price are not there, it's quite difficult for them to actually compromise. So getting, again, I'm talking about that easy way on every sense, and also the price parity is one of the ways to make it easy. That's something that would definitely enable the future growth. And obviously technologies that would accomplish that, that will help to drive that, will be successful. And the last one, I think nutritional composition of the products is super critical. So Camilla mentioned that we worked on a number of pork alternative developments in Europe, where obviously Nutri-Score is a very, very big important topic. And by, you know, finding a solution to reduce the salt, to optimize the fat content, to increase fiber, for example, that would be really crucial for consumers to have the right product on the table. And we also able to integrate those solutions and hopefully to find a very holistic way to make the products better. I think nutrition will play a key role. And I mean, why not taking it as a challenge and to look at how we can further improve, even compared to the animal protein, and make it better in the non-animal alternatives.
Now, as a company, you've clearly got enormous experience in this sector. So what are some of your recommendations for the food industry as we look to the future? And where might there be opportunities to work with Givaudan to help shape the future of alternative proteins?
Yes, I think we in Givaudan, we believe that we need to work as a joint force. You know, that would be super, super crucial as a whole industry for what's good for the planet. So we are really committed to building this community of companies, like an ecosystem really, of companies, startups, universities I mentioned already, that could change and drive this change in the industry. Following this commitment, we for sure invest in this area by opening some of the protein hubs, as we call them, across the globe. We have one in Zurich already, in Singapore. We're going to open in 2023 one in Brazil, and then also additional one in the US. So we are very, very exciting, because that's going to be the places where the companies who are really active in this area can come and work with us, partner with us on some new and exciting initiatives, and hopefully create some good innovations that will enable better food experiences. And I'm particularly excited about the new cultured food hub that Flavio already touched on. That definitely will be the place for the companies to think about what could be the next big thing when it comes to the cultured food, which, as I already mentioned, will be a game changer, hopefully. So we really strongly believe that you know, working with external partners to accelerate innovation, to push creativity, and hopefully deliver on some of the big challenges that industry is facing is really a way forward, and it's going to be a win for everyone, for the industry, for the producers, but most importantly for the consumers that we have. Because, you know, it's all in the end, it's all about creating the sustainable world, the world that is livable for the generations to come, and where hopefully meat is one of the alternatives, and we have a wide selection of different products that are equally good, and it's just a matter of personal preferences. So I really hope we can go towards that.
Excellent. I mean, it's exciting times. So thank you all so much for sharing all of your knowledge. I really think it's an exhilarating time in this sector. So I really look forward to seeing what happens next. So Flavio Garofalo, Camila Carrascal and Igor Pashin, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode made in partnership with Givaudan. If you did, there are hundreds more at foodmatterslive.com. And remember, if you enjoy the Food Matters Live podcast, you can subscribe via your preferred platform. And if you feel inclined, why not leave us a review? Thank you so much for listening.